Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome along to the Dublin Arsenal Review Show. I'm your host, Jonathan Giles. On our Carabao Cup Review Show tonight, February the 4th, I'm joined by fellow Gooners David Sims and Brendan Boyle to debate and analyse last night's 1-0 home victory courtesy of a late Kai Havertz winner over Chelsea to seal the Gunners' place in the Carabao Cup final at Wembley Stadium on Sunday, March 22nd. Arsenal versus Leeds will be live on Premier Sports 1 this coming Saturday, February the 7th, kick-off at 3 p.m. Catch our Match Week 25 Premier League clash in the River Bar, Wimbore Quay, Dublin City Centre, where you can catch the Dublin Arsenal Supporters Club crew. So sit back and enjoy another top podcast. I'm joined firstly by a man literally off the plane, soaked in his shorts, trousers gone. Brendan Boyle, welcome back. How are you? And have you recovered from last night's fantastic 1-0 victory?
Just about. It was it was tough going, but that last gosh goal made more than made up for it. The celebrations were, as you could probably see, off the scale. So
it looked an incredible atmosphere for Brendan, and I'm looking forward to getting into the nitty gritty. Someone that was at the Emirates last night. It's great when you have someone that was at it. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm also joined by Mr. Costa Rica himself, I think we'll call him. It's on to be Miss World Costa Rica come the end of the year.
25-26.
Look at that beach bod on him.
Sounds good. How are we? I mean, listen, I've got a little house in the jungle surrounded by monkeys and everything, but there were some people sitting outside and they heard me screaming when Havertz scored. And I bumped into them later and they wanted to know what the hell had happened, you know? It was brilliant. Yeah, to answer your question, it's 6 hours time difference. So it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon here last night for 8 o'clock. So perfect time to get out of the heat and watch the game. So, you know, and when the game finished at 4 p.m, that's when happy hour starts on the beach. So, do you know what I mean? But as my friend said to me yesterday, every day is happy hour in Costa Rica. So, do you know what I mean?
I'm on my way. I'm just going to head back to the airport, I think.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's great to have along two avid Gooners, as always, Mr. Score Guy and Mr. Boyle himself. Should be a top podcast. Before we go into our review of last night's brilliant 1-0 victory, the Dublin Arsenal Supporters Club are doing a special Stanley Arsenal giveaway on Valentine's weekend. So if you're not lucky to get a kiss off David or Brendan, the competition will run in the week of the Wigan Athletic fixture. More info on our social channels. I'm sure you might want a mug than looking at their ugly mugs.
Yeah, okay.
I had to get that
you
one.
You gave yourself
there.
That one.
No, it should be a great giveaway, lads. And thanks to Martin Stoneville, he'll stick that on our Instagram and social channels for that giveaway. We're getting ever closer now, 10 days to the big day, Valentine's Day, but more importantly to the Dublin Arsenal Stanley giveaway. I think that's much more important. In terms of last night's review, Carabao Cup semi-final second leg, of course we were 3-2 up from the first leg, which was played back on January the 14th. 3-2 victory, White, Gyökeres and Zubimendi that night, of course. And last night, a late winner from Kai Havertz sealed a 4-2 aggregate scoreline, which brought us to Wembley. It will be Arteta's first time back at Wembley since 2020, when we beat Chelsea in the FA Cup final. Sadly, no one was there to see it due to that horrible word, COVID. But we'd certainly be here there on March 22nd, that's for sure. The Arsenal lineup last night, Kepa, Timber, Gabriel, Saliba, and Capier at the back. Eze, Rice, and Zubimendi in midfield. And Madueke, Gyökeres, and Martinelli up front. And off the bench came Kai Havertz and Leo Trossard. In terms of stats, it was 50-50 on possession. On target was two each. Corners, Arsenal with two, Chelsea with five. It was a feisty affair, fouls wise again, like the first leg. 14 fouls to the Gunners, 11 to Chelsea. Arsenal with three shots and Chelsea with 12. Arsenal will play in the Carabao Cup final at Wembley Stadium on March 22nd. The Gunners haven't won the League Cup since 1993, as we all know. Their last League Cup final appearance was against Manchester City back in 2018 when we were beaten 3-0. A day that I'd like to forget. And thank God it's in March, not February. Also, Arsenal will have the chance to win their first League Cup for 33 years since 1992-93. It's their ninth appearance in the final. Only three sides have more, with Liverpool with 15 have the most there. Chelsea lost both legs of a League Cup semi-final tie for the first time in 35 years, since being beaten by Sheffield Wednesday 2-0 at home and 3-1 away back in 1991. They have won three times away in the cup this season. Arsenal have not lost in the last 10 games against Chelsea, won seven, drawn three. Come on, you Gooners. Nice stat there for everyone. In terms, it was one of those a match of Arsenal really defended this game really well. I thought, literally a match of few chances, and Arsenal really playing it safe with being 3-2 up from the first leg. I was expecting a few goals, and I was quite surprised at the way we kind of played last night. Toby would have had to beat the Chelsea. Toby could have went for a few more, but I'll take a 1-0 to the Arsenal any day if it gets us to Wembley. The only notable chances, I suppose, in the first half was Piero and Capier's long range effort that was well saved by Sanchez, and Enzo Fernandez had a similar chance that was well saved by Caparita Balaga. Mark Cucurella was up to his usual antics, but I thought Nani Madueke and Yuri Timber in particular showed their physicality there, and showed, he kind of stopped it. I noticed as the game went on the second half. I think he was afraid of the sheer brute of our players against him. And I suppose Chalobah's lunge on Martinelli near the end of the second half, a few minutes before Havertz's goal. I thought he did get the ball, Chalobah, but I thought he did get a lunge on Martinelli at the same time. I probably would have, if that was an Arsenal player, I think that would have been given as a penalty. That's hand on heart. And of course, the goal itself, what a through ball from Declan Rice, and Havertz dummied Sanchez. And it was great when he just pointed to the badge, Havertz. That summed up a brilliant night. And then to come to Brendan Boyle, a man that was at the Emirates last night, very envious by like me and David not being there. It's one of those nights that you look back in years to come, Brendan, as long as you win the final, of course, in March. Give us your take of the 90 minutes at the Emirates, Brendan. Take it away.
Well, strangely, like the first thing we noticed was the Chelsea setup. They set up with five at the back and quite a deep lying midfield. And obviously that was really, you could sort of see, right, they're just going to look and hold it as long as they can and then maybe just try and hit us on the break. And it looked like that's what they were trying to do, especially in the first half, just big long balls. And I thought the first half was quite dour, to be honest. There wasn't much really going on. We didn't look like we had any sort of any way of getting through them. I thought Medueke looked okay to start off with. Him and Cucurella were, from previous teammates, I imagine they didn't even get on when they were actual teammates. So there was some real few little nasty things going on that you might not have seen on the TV. But Medueke, I thought, really put it up to him. And there was quite a few late shoulders and shoves and this and that. So I like to see that in him. But really, like I thought our defence was absolutely imperious, brilliant, and restricted them to a few half chances. Now there was a lot of balls they were just lumping up, and I thought Gabriel and Saliba were just cutting in front of them, especially when Delap was there, and like they had a lot, they had a few long range shots and stuff like that, especially, more so in the second half. But I don't really think we were under an awful lot of pressure. And likewise, we didn't really put them under very much pressure. But there was no service into Gyökeres whatsoever. But
No.
I really think it was like I think they looked to play for 0-0 at half time and then maybe scrape one at the end to push it to extra time and maybe go to penalties. But you know, I know he's getting like Rissinha's getting a lot of stick online, saying that it was a real boring way to set up.
Yeah.
But it's a sort of, to be honest, it's like a George Graham setup. If you go back to Anfield in 89, that's exactly how he set up, knowing what he had to do. Hold it really tight and then, you know, start the second half. But they never looked overly dangerous, even when they brought the subs on, because, you know, that was the cavalry sort of charge that we expected. But then Havertz came on and Trossard, which I thought were great substitutions. And we looked infinitely more dangerous when they came on. The only sort of one thing that I was a little bit sort of disappointed in was Eze. I didn't think he was at the races at all. Yeah. And
no.
I think he keeps taking completely the wrong positions. Like if he wants to play number 10, he just, I don't know if you see it, he keeps going in to crowds of players where you can't pass the ball to him. And it's almost like hiding is the way I describe it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, disappointing because it's such a good player. And that's not how he played for Crystal Palace. So I think, like, as a number 10, it's not going to happen for him there if he carries on in the same context. But, you know, we all want him to succeed. So fingers crossed he'll get there. But apart from that, I thought everybody was excellent. Really, really good. Was happy. Kepa, again, flapped at a couple of corners, couple of crosses, but he hasn't played very much football. So
yeah,
I like him. I like him as a goalkeeper. I think he's a fantastic number two. And, you know, confident enough when he is there, to be fair. But yeah, so apart from that, you know, catching them on the break at the end was exactly what they wanted to do to us. And as I said, the scenes were just absolute bedlam. It was fantastic, you know, really, really good. And you could see like the whole bench just ran straight across the pitch on top of Havertz and the rest of the team. So, which shows a great camaraderie as well. So it was, it was a good night to be there, to be fair.
In your opinion, before I come on to David, with Kai Havertz, you know, it's great to see him back and getting that goal last night, will do his confidence the world of good. In your opinion, Brendan, what's the big difference between him and Victor Gyökeres? What does Havertz give you that Victor doesn't, you know, that you've seen?
Touch, to start off with.
Yeah.
Seems, you know, Gyökeres was trying to get involved, but as I said, he had zero service.
Yeah.
But like, if a ball comes up to him, he doesn't jump. He tends to back into a man. And he's, you know, I just, again, he's another player. I'd love for him to succeed, but he's getting no service. And then when he's not getting any service, he doesn't get involved in the play. And if the ball does come up to him, he doesn't hold it up well enough. Whereas Havertz can drop off. He can move from side to side.
Yeah.
He's just like more of an open player. Whereas Gyökeres just seems to be stuck in that, you know, in between the centre halves. But he's
more waiting for the delivery to come to him than, you know, you actually show for it as such. Yeah, yeah. I was expecting kind of more from him after getting that goal against Leeds. You know, I thought he took that goal really well. But as you said, and I said in the thread, he got little or no really service at all last night, did he? It wasn't really his fault. No, no.
It was nothing. So, I wouldn't say he did anything wrong.
Yeah.
It just, that there was just nothing going for him. And likewise, if you look at Delap didn't really get any service from Chelsea either.
Strange, Brendan. Delap out in the wing was quite an odd one, where he's normally a central striker looking for that delivery for his height and his physical presence. It was an odd one.
The reason for it is because Gabriel and Saliba were absolutely eating him.
Yeah.
So if you watch any ball that came up, they were all over him. With legs coming over his shoulder nearly. So. But that was him. He knew he wasn't going to get moving away. So whereas Gyökeres doesn't do that. Gyökeres still just stays
where in that central
stays
position.
Stays where he is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's four goals in his last six games up to last night. You know, I'm seeing signs that Gyökeres, he's getting there. You know, it's on a lot more work to do, but we'll believe in him. He's not a 72 million flop like Pepe. David. In my opinion, I'm sure you agree with me, the damage was probably done in the first leg when we were three, when we went, taking the 3-2 lead back to the Emirates from the first leg. Your take on last night's victory, David, incredible and really professional display.
Jonathan, since the final whistle last night, all I wanted to do was just come on here and you pass the podcast over to me because I have so much to say. Chelsea, I mean, come on. I'm going to start with Arsenal first because that's who we're talking about. We were strong, stubborn, resolute, and focused, right? That was old Arsenal. That was the Arsenal that's learnt over these games this season that we talk about every time we do this podcast. We say it every week, every podcast, that this team is learning and it learnt to step up last night. Chelsea are a good side. They may sometimes perceive themselves not to be, but I thought they were there to be beaten. But of course, we didn't have to beat them because we were already ahead, right? Possession, nine tenths of the law. We already had that goal. Okay. We get on to talk about Chelsea. The point with Chelsea is that they have a manager there who is incredible with the media, supposedly. I think he's terrible. I think he's the Ricky Gervais from The Office, right? He's absolutely appalling. And I don't think he'll last very long. Because to come against Arsenal, the media constantly keep on having these reports on Sky Sports, on TalkSport, about how can Arsenal be stopped? There's these reviews. They're doing whole shows about it. I've never ever heard this about Man City or Liverpool. They've never gone into deep depths of how to stop those teams when they were going on to win the league. But for Arsenal, obviously, we get special treatment. Rizinho, as I call him, because he should resign, he decided after 16 minutes that he was going to put suddenly have three players running up the pitch to try and obstruct and confuse our corner taking. And yeah, for a few seconds until the ref blew his whistle because there was some infighting going on and the ref didn't really know what the hell was going on. It confused everybody, even the Chelsea players. Then they did it again, the second corner. We all knew it was coming then. By that time, there was more space for Arsenal. We nearly scored then. It was our first real chance, was when they were fanning around, sending players up the pitch, right? So I don't know what was going on. And they stopped doing it. And then, in fact, Arsenal then decided to play a little bit more, but also just be a bit more dogged. And that was quite an interesting thing. I felt the game exploded on 52 minutes when Arteta got booked for laughing at the fourth official. Watch the footage, guys. Play it back. It's hilarious. They literally, it was like Wenger at Old Trafford doing the whole, being sent to the stands thing. I mean, he was yellow carded for laughing, right? And I think at that point, everyone got even more serious. We're like, do you know what I mean? You're not getting through. We're going to be more stubborn, more resolute, right? I thought we were excellent. I thought we defended well. We were, as I said, they didn't we they had to come to us, and they decided it was really weird, Chelsea, to set up that way, knowing, and it was almost like the chess game that then suddenly got lost because we were all screaming on WhatsApp with everybody all over that weren't at the game, going, we've got to make subs, we've got to make subs. And Arteta was going, I don't need to make subs. It's still nil nil. And what I'll do is if they score, right, then so be it. But we'll just keep defending. They won't get through us. But if they do, right, we've got other games on this week, right? We've got other games. We've got a big weekend on Saturday. We will then bring on our subs for the rest of that period and then for the extra time that will be pending. We're not going to be forced into doing something by Chelsea because Chelsea, they must be constantly looking at how they were attacking, what their shots, what their threat rate was, and there wasn't anything there. So just keep everything the same, which is what he did. Then Chelsea played the cards. Brought on their guys, and then Arteta thought, right, okay, all right, I want to see this out now, but my guys are getting tired. I need to do my natural changes. I need to bring other players on. We need minutes. We need some minutes in Havertz's legs. We want to run Trossard out. We got Madueke. We need him on Saturday. So Saka's injured. Let's bring. So there's like a natural progression. He wasn't forced into those changes, right? He didn't do those changes directly. He just thought that he felt that it was time because Chelsea had made changes. what it meant to the club, and Brendan, you were there, and literally, as I said, I was screaming, and the whole world probably had a little shake on it last night from all the Gooners. Everybody listens to this show all over the planet. What it means to the club is massive, because we have worked solidly all this season, right? And we've worked solidly for years to get to this position, and we got through to the final of a major competition. Okay, it's not the FA Cup, it's not, but we're learning. If we had fallen last night, people would have been ripping us apart, but we didn't. We're learning and we went ahead. And what this means to the club, it means everything. Look at those players, look at the fans, look at the celebrations, look how we feel, right? And as I said to you, we it's a big game tonight because it's City Newcastle. Let's see who we're going to play. But I tell you what, if it's City, as Kevin Keegan said, I will love it when we bang a few in against them, because that's the first time we're going to get a chance to really come against them. We've got to play them in April as well, but we could really, really, I said this last week, we can destroy City in that final and really do them. And then we won't have to worry about anybody in the league, right? It'll be on a plate and it'll be coming to us. It's a perfect, we are, these stages of Arsenal and what Arteta is building is literally remarkable. And just to finish up with the media, they don't know how to do it now. Most of them are saying we've won the quadruple, because that's all the pressure we can put on us, right? Some are saying we're going to crap still. Some are saying we're amazing. Some are saying it was all down to Chelsea because they're rubbish and Arsenal just had to turn up and they won the game, which is all rubbish. Every single thing I said there is complete and utter rubbish. We've still got games to go in the Premier League. We've still got to win a final. We still, you know, it's, but it's what the media, they don't know how to deal with us. No. And I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, if this is Man City going for the quadruple, you know, there wouldn't be this big, you know, hullabaloo about it. You know, yeah, it's the media versus Arsenal. Brendan, with Bukayo Saka, you know, with that hip injury that he got pre-match of the Leeds United game, if we didn't have a replacement like Nani Wadweke back in the past, there would have been like this, you know, this real nerves has got. No, Saka, what do we do now? But in your opinion, how good is Nani Madueke? He's a terrific replacement, isn't he? Like, you wouldn't worry now if Saka was injured at all.
Well, he's one of the most direct wingers I've seen in years, to be honest. Like, I didn't really notice him too much at Chelsea. I don't really watch any other teams too often. So I didn't really take too much notice of him. I don't watch England games. But he's very, very direct. Like, his dribbling is brilliant. His final ball, his decision making still needs to be worked on quite a little bit. He's one of those, he's almost too fast when he takes it in, and then he either overruns it, he treads on it, or he makes the wrong decision. But again, that's experience. He's only young. So I think if he can calm down a little bit and work on that final ball, which I'm assuming that's what they're training him at, he will be amazing. And I think, even like speaking to everybody there yesterday, like we knew Madueke was playing, nobody was worried that Saka was missing. So that's, you know, we would love Saka to be playing, don't get me wrong. But, and I think that's across the board, the step down from players, if they're missing, is negligible. It's, and, you know, anyone that comes in, they're all pushing each other. They're all doing so well, you know. There's no Woody exception. I think, as I mentioned earlier, I thought Eze was poor last night. But if he goes out, you can bring somebody else in. So I think across the board, the guys are doing some fantastic stuff, and they're all excited. They're all, you know, they've all built into it. There's nobody going off sulking, as you get with some clubs. And long may it last, and on you know, onwards and upwards.
Who would Nani Madueke, I'm going to put this out to yourself and David Brennan, who would you remind you of in the old school wingers Arsenal once had? You know, who would you remind you of? As you said, he's very direct, and it's like, it's a very old school thing now. You don't see that with wingers really, do you? It's like the old Anders Limpar of the day, isn't it? Like, just get the ball, head down and go.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very difficult to sort of... stick, you know, compare him to somebody. David, I'll let you answer that one.
Yeah. I can see you're ready to go. I'm gonna I'm gonna make this podcast explode now, viral. I think he's a young man, and he's come to us, and under Arteta's stewardship, we're still looking for that centre forward. I think he's Henry-esque, and I think over time he can step in from where he is and be even more direct, because his ability to glide past players and his finishing. I think if he's given that opportunity, you know, let's be honest about it, right? Mourinho, he was a midfielder, and he became our top scorer nearly last year. That's what Arteta did to him. What can Arteta do to Madueke now with him coming through? And we could have Madueke up top and Saka together, right? And I think that is something that would scare the life out of people. And as we go later into the Champions League, I can see, maybe not this year, but in the future, in next season, that might be something, because they're constantly looking at how, you know, there's always talks about Lewis Skelly coming into the midfield and, you know, movement around as people get older and they get more mature. Where's Max Dowman going to play? He's going to start to play next season. I know we're jumping forward here, but we're talking about where do we think that player is going to go? And I think we're going to see Arteta really create this super team by developing these players over a period of a couple of years to make them the greatest they can be. And I think Madueke's got everything. Look, we all question when Raya came from, who is he? What, you know, he saw it, he made it happen. He brought Rice in, he saw it, he made it happen. He's bringing in these players who were here and they've just gone, you know, it's Ballon d'Or for Declan Rice. It's the goal, it's clean sheet and the golden boot for David Raya. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just on a different level, right? Yeah. And so that's your answer, Brendan.
Yeah.
Thank you. One of the things that I saw with him yesterday was Cucurella. He ran at Cucurella straight away and got past him. And from then on, Cucurella was terrified of him. And I said there was a little bit of argy-bargy and a few afters between the two of them. But one of the things, like, when Saka plays there, Cucurella is always all over Saka. And Saka doesn't ever really play that well against Chelsea. Cucurella does a really good job on him. But to see how much he stood off Madueke, whereas he's right up Saka's arse, I think is only credit for Nonny Madueke.
And you're in timber as well last night, Brandon. There was a few players out for Cucurella, because I think that's a good point you made. It was kind of sticking up for Saka, wasn't it? They were sick and tired of seeing Saka being kicked around. This was Cucurella's time to kind of get... Because he kind of went very quiet, didn't he, in the second half? He wasn't as into Arsenal players as he was in the first half. Did you notice that yourself?
He got flattened off the ball again. I don't know if it showed it on the TV, like maybe midway through the first half. I didn't actually even see it, but I'm assuming it was timber.
Yeah,
and he just got absolutely laid out, right? And from then on, it was like, right, you're not going to fuck with us, like, so, which is great to see, because
we're seeing more steeliness about Arsenal, Brandon, aren't we? I'm seeing a lot more of a physicality this season. This team isn't going to be pushed around by anyone, regardless of, you know, the nature of them all. And that's something I think Arteta has drilled into them. Do you think that yourselves, that we're not going to be messing around anymore, stand up and be counted? Yeah.
Look at that back four. Hincapié in there as well. Hincapié, yeah. Tim, Gabriel, Saliba. Oh my God, animals.
Yeah.
And then you've got Rice in there. You got Zubimendi, you know, he can put himself about a little bit as well. Wouldn't be so much of a hard man. And then you've got like a Jokeres there as well. And you bring a Marino into the mix whenever he comes in. And then the rest of them are like, they're big boys and they're tough lads. Nobody pushes Arsenal around anymore.
No.
So, which is, you know, long overdue.
It was fairly like ourselves, Brandon, that time. We downed the Emirates 5-a-side pitch. There was no messing us about, particularly at the front of the bar, aren't
we? We were about 5 stone heavier than all of them, though.
Yeah, we were big lads then. Brandon, as well, with the big one tonight, of course, the second of the semi-finals, Man City and Newcastle. Newcastle currently, of course, the current holders of the League Cup. City 2-0 up. Would either of these sides fear you going to Wembley if either one of these made it? Do you believe that squad that we have and the strength and depth that we can go and beat Man City or Newcastle on the day?
Absolutely. I like what David said there earlier. It's something that, like, if we rolled over City, then that's, that's in their psyche that they're I think that they've already proven that they're scared of Arsenal anyway. And if we sort of rolled them over in a cup final this early in the season, that's them gone. You can see, like, I was watching them against Spurs at the weekend, and I watched the first half and turned it off. Because I thought Spurs were so bad, and I
It was
thought
going to be a
City,
mauling.
it's going to be at 5-0, and I think I might have texted that up or something. It was embarrassing. And then I tuned in at five, for final score. Could not believe it. So, but that just shows how City can implode, and allegedly they've done it in quite a lot of second halves this season. So I don't think they're anywhere near as good as what they were. So.
Yeah, the time
Not
I
bad.
saw them, that one all draw, even David, earlier on in the season when Gabriel got Martinelli got that incredible lob over Donnarumma. I think Guardiola, he fears Arsenal now instead of the other way around now. Would you believe that yourself, David? He fears us now.
There's a great drink called Carlsberg, and it used to say, if Carlsberg did weeks for Arsenal fans. I mean, we watched them throw away a 2-0 against Spurs, right? We then go through to the final, and what's to say Newcastle don't do them tonight, right? And then we go on and stuff Sunderland at the weekend. It's a great time to be a Gooner. There is doubt. I've said this in the last one. I'll be really quick. All this 6 points, 7 points ahead, 4 points ahead, it means nothing. It's all about focus, determination, and how the team is playing, because you've all got to play each other. We do not have any cracks, it seems. I mean, obviously, we had the blimp against Man United. I think that did us the world of good. I said at the time, it was the biggest wake-up call for this club. But City are, they just doubt themselves every week, every time. That, that there is, you do not know which City is going to turn up for every game. And City have got Liverpool at the weekend, right? This is all developing very quickly. This Netflix series of Arsenal winning the league is all developing, guys. So keep watching this podcast, keep listening to this podcast. But, I just think that there is doubt. We get to the final against City in March, and they park the bus. What will that send out to everybody? That the City literally don't want to even play against us. Chelsea came and parked the bus in a game that they had to win,
Then
right? They came and parked the bus, and then they complained about it. And listen, well, who was their manager? Jose Mourinho? He parked his bus. He parked four buses on the pitch for every game, and they're complaining to us that we that you know it's low block, as our good friend says. It's rinse and repeat every week. It's low block, low block.
No
Even
block.
in the game that Chelsea had to win, they came and played a low block. It doesn't make sense, right? Anybody, please get on the comments for this and tell us how it makes sense. Because Chelsea fans, explain yourself. Because I don't understand how you managed to come to Emirates, come to the Arsenal, and think you were going to win by playing that defensive game. But yeah, just I want to say really briefly. I know we've only got 3 minutes left. Gyökeres, I felt for him because again, Martinelli on the 33rd minute could have passed the ball to him and he didn't, right? And then you've got Havertz coming on with his amazing touch, who gets an unbelievable break and an unbelievable on a platter from Declan Rice. And he goes around the goalkeeper and the place goes into bedlam and everyone's talking about Havertz. The king is back, right? And Gyökeres has been in the trenches now for weeks and he has done well. He scored good goals, important goals for Arsenal. And we've got to remember, he's just come to us. And like all players, when players come to Arsenal, they take a little while to settle in, right? And I think we've got to show respect. And I know we've given him pelters over the weeks, but I'm starting to realise now the strength of having Gyökeres. Exactly what you were saying, Brendan, about the strength of the man, and he creates a little bit of confusion up there. But listen. If we give the ball to him, we gave the ball to him last against Milan. He scored. We've given him balls, and he scores. Right? Just give the balls to him. I know Arteta. I know you listen. Get him some balls to Gyökeres. Right?
Just briefly, Brendan, were you being there last night and Kai Havertz scoring that really a late winner in every way of the word? Where would you put that up as high as the goal Reece Nelson scored against Bournemouth for the
Oh
volume of the fans? No, no.
no. It's all different contexts, and like that was more like like yesterday was like we were saying it. I said it's
Was
a
that goal more
semi-final.
relief that we
It was
just
more
got
relief.
over the
Yeah, it was more relief. I said it's a semi-final. We're 3-2 up, and we can't enjoy it. And like we're now into like injury time, and so that was just one of those moments because everyone was just like, you know, if we could get one, it didn't look like we were, and that was it. And it was just roof off the pressure off the, you know,
Yeah, it was just a
place.
release,
But
yeah.
like, you know, and allegedly it was very, very noisy. But I still think the Reece Nelson one was just
I was at that
ridiculous.
game. It was
Okay,
like the
lads,
ground shook.
we've got 90 seconds. I'm going to come to Brendan, man of the match from last night for yourself.
Declan Rice, good shout out to Martinelli, and I'm sorry for the entire defensive unit that they should all have got man of the match, but I'll give it to Rice because I thought second half he just took the game by the scruff of the neck.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Kai Havertz for that goal, and he's back. Welcome back, Kai. You're all ours again. And David, man of the match for yourself.
I'm going to be a little bit different. I'm going to give it to Timber because he's as hard as a nut,
I
right?
think
I
that
thought
sums
he
up
was
you agree.
just absolutely no one went. Timber was everywhere, and he was giving it all. So I'm going to give it. I think the guy's a beating heart now. You know, Nutty Winterburn, Nutty Timber. That's the one.
I'd just like to thank my
Like
guests tonight,
it. Like
Brendan
it.
Boyle and David Sims, as always. Thanks very much, lads, for taking your time out.
You're
Catch
very
us up on
welcome.
Spotify and the Dublin Arsenal YouTube channel. Until our Sunderland preview tomorrow evening. Thanks for watching and listening, and come on, you Gunners.
Come on, you Arsenal. Up the arse.